You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
It's always a great Hawaiian shirt Wednesday here on Sports Daily. Hope you're all out there celebrating. Glad to have you with us. Thanks for Wyatt Thompson stopping by, voice of the Wildcats. He's getting ready to hop on a plane and head to Ireland. If you missed anything in that conversation, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. We get podcasted out. Max takes care of that for us every day. Max has got those phone lines for you at 869-1240. And we've got your comments on YouTube and X today. We'll get that Facebook reconnected in the next couple of days. Glad to be here with you. You want to win some iced tea today? We'll start you off there here in this hour. You can text the keyword tea right now to 20357. That's 20357 at HTO East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. Just announced cherry iced tea is sticking around forever. It's going to become a permanent flavor, very popular. Summer edition is here. We'll have the new fall flavor for you. Coming up announced in the next couple of weeks. I think people will be excited. T20357. We've got Shreyas Lada stopping by in this hour. We're excited for that. Get you ready for KU this weekend. They're taking on Fresno State. A lot of buzz around that stadium, everything getting ready to be done there. And we'll preview the NFC North. This one should be fun. Wide open division where you could make some case for any of the four teams there to be the winner. We'll think about that division coming up. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. With the just-announced Kansas Lagerfest, join me along with more than a dozen other breweries for samples and celebration of the crisp, clean brews known as lagers. Go to www.wichitabrew.com to get your tickets now. Tommy, Chiefs camp yesterday. I don't think there's a lot to kind of take you through on this one. Matt Nagy was kind of the coordinator day. He likes what Josh Simmons has done. Talking about his confidence. I don't think they're going to give us the skinny on left guard. But it sounds like everybody is pleased with, like we are pleased with what they're seeing from Josh Simmons. The big thing for him though, is he going to be healthy? Like, we all knew this guy was good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's been the major question mark. Like, not just you know, will he be healthy, but will he be fully 100% healthy and effective? And I think, you know, that's, that question has been answered just by his play, you know, over the last few weeks and in preseason and all of that. So I've got, I mean, you know, if right after the draft, if the level of concern for his health was an 8 out of 10, you know, it probably dropped to a 6 out of 10 at the beginning of OTAs. And then it probably dropped to a 5 out of 10 at the beginning of training camp. Now it's probably down to like a 1 or a 2. I mean, like, I don't think that there's really anything major at all to be concerned about. It's been more about how does he acclimate himself to full game speed at the NFL level and all of that. And from what it seems like through the first two preseason games, he's passed with flying colors. And so really, honestly, I think the one of the things that I'm looking forward to, hopefully, fingers crossed that we can get to this point where we're not even really having to talk about what's going on at left tackle. Like, if that just kind of becomes a foundational rock solid piece of the offensive line where Josh Simmons' name doesn't get called out, he fills into that role and we don't have to worry about it. That would be ideal.
Because we're too busy screaming at left guard.
True.
It's possible. Look, I think the really interesting thing is that injury, from what I've always been able to tell, like, once you're clear of it, you're clear of it. It's not like a soft tissue issue, you know, soft tissue issue where you're looking and saying, oh, could this thing flare back up? Like, I think once he's clear. So yeah, then it just becomes about the regular, you know, acclimation of a rookie left tackle. But this is a guy with as high a pedigree coming out as you're ever going to find. So I think it'll settle in quietly and it will be fine. And then he'll have to, you know, figure out what's going on to his right at left guard. And that's the big question now for the Chiefs. And I'll be honest here. I didn't think of it as a big a concern as it's going to be, which is probably foolish on my part because they're trying to replace Joe Tooney there. And it's just, because they didn't have Tooney for a lot of last season either, and they made it work. And now they're going to have to figure out how to make this work. And they can't, you know, you can't afford the momentum to be let out of the balloon on Simmons playing well by just giving up the pressure up the middle, you know, to his right. So somebody's going to have to step up into that role. The Chiefs are keeping that. I think they're keeping it kind of quiet. I don't know what they're going to do. I still think it'll be more in Brazil. I think it'll be more. And I think Juwan Taylor will be on the right side. But boy, I guess it could be Kingsley. And we'll have to keep our eye on that. Today is the day Andy Reid speaks. And today is the day we probably get like a definitive answer. But I think he already gave it to us on Monday or whatever day that was. That this will be the game where you see Mahomes and company. I don't know that you'll see all of them, but for more or less, for what it's worth, the starters, right? I think we'll see them. I bet it's 2 series. That's my call. 2 series, as long as it's not like a 3 and out or something. I think we'll see 2 series around 10 plays for the starters, and then that'll be it. I think that's what we're looking at this weekend.
Well, and the biggest thing too with this final preseason game, and this is the way that it is all across the entire league, is that you've got fringe players that are trying to make their roster spot. They're you know, the coaches and everybody, they're going to be looking at, okay, we've got to get down to the 53-man roster. And the way that the preseason has changed from previous years to within the last couple is there's only one cutdown day. It's not multiple rounds of cutdowns. And so the Chiefs, a lot of these guys that are on the fringes, that are on the bubble potentially to make the team or not make the team, it's going to be their final opportunity to show out and show off a little bit. And we've talked about at length the handful of players that at least we think are on the bubble, on that potential cut line, to maybe miss out on a roster spot. And so it'll be up to them on Friday night, once the starters are done and they're out, for these guys to put on a final show in advance of the final cutdown.
Yeah, and who knows how much of that is determined there, how much is determined in practice. There will be some critical spots. Dave Tobe was asked about Sky Moore and what he can do in the return game. He is fond of him, said he trusts his hands back there, which is kind of funny. But, you know, that may be the thing, but, man, I doubt it. Tyquan Thornton, Tobe says he's trying to find a role for him. There are going to be a couple of spots, but this happens every year. I said this at some point, like, we look at how much time over the years have we spent on Justin Ross? Justin Ross never sees the field when the games are actually flying. So I think for these particular decisions, and most of us are looking at running back and receiver and maybe tight end, and how does that all sort itself out? The reality has always been you've got Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt early on. What's behind them? They're almost certainly going to keep Rashard Smith. And then you've got a collection of receivers that, when healthy, are going to already include Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, Jalen Royals, Juju Smith-Schuster. That's five. You're not the Chiefs won't need more than that, except for guys that can help in special teams or whatever. So as much as we all may be enamored with Tyquan Thornton, right, and his ability to get down the field, it'll be a problem for the Chiefs if he's a significant contributor. They'll have a handful of plays for some of these guys. Thornton probably has the advantage on insertion to make one big play a game, or maybe Sky Moore has the advantage in special teams because he's done it a long time for Dave Tobe, or Nico Remigio on special
it's gonna
teams
be Remigio.
Because he's done it a long time.
Yeah, I think it's going to end up being Remigio.
Conclusion.
I mean, I think that if I had to guess right now, I think Remigio will get a roster spot and that'll make six. And then I don't think it's going to be Thornton and Moore on the active roster. I think that as much as Dave Tobe may trust Sky Moore's hands, and that is kind of funny, I think that the experiment is done and should be done.
I'd keep Thornton. So we can have a little. I don't want to call it having fun because these are guys' livelihoods and that seems cruel. But I would bet you that it's not Remigio.
My biggest concern, I'm going to be honest with you. My biggest issue with when Sky Moore had that big old return in the second preseason game was, man, that might be enough for them to want to keep him around for another year.
Well, didn't he have a huge return in one of the Super Bowls?
Well, he did.
Too, or something.
Yeah, like 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years. Like, great, cool. But like, he had fallen out of favor big time, as we all know. And I didn't want this like one big return in the second preseason game to be like, oh, well, now we need to keep him because look at it. You know, he did. Like, I didn't want the blinders to be on. Like, look at the entire body of work. Look at everything. From day one.
We all need to find someone to sports hate as much as Tommy sports hates Sky Moore. I trust Dave Tobe. Whichever guy he wants, I don't care. Again, like to me, it's irrelevant.
But
they're not going to
return.
Nobody
loves Sky
Moore. They're not
like
going to return punts. I used to love
You've
Sky
wanted
Moore.
Sky Moore to be the wide receiver one forever.
Like 4 years ago. But yeah. I was intrigued by him. I just want the punt returner to catch the ball. They're not going to return any punts anyway. Like they don't return them. Just catch it. Like, I just, whatever Dave Tobe wants. And then I think it's Rashard Smith. And it will be interesting when it happens. And then we'll forget about it and not care once the games actually start being played. All right. When we come back, NFC North preview here on Sports Daily. We continue to take you through the divisions. This is one of the best. That's next.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Welcome back in, everybody. Shreya Salata coming up later in the hour, so stick around for that, KU fans, as we get you ready for the Fresno State game. We are getting you ready for the NFL season. We continue our divisional previews here on Sports Daily, and we move up to the NFC North. Tommy, you could tell me this is one of the this is probably the only division. Yeah, this would be the only division that you could tell me any order of finish, and I would say, okay, I could see it. I mean, there's any order of finish, and that includes the Chicago Bears. There could be any order of finish here, and I'd be like, all right, I you could talk me into it. This one should be, as far as top to bottom, the best in football this year.
Yeah, it's a four-team race. Literally any of these teams could win the division. Now, the favorites are going to be the Lions. For good reason, but every single one of these teams can probably lay a claim to saying that they could win the division. And I think it's the most talented from top to bottom. It's the best from top to bottom, and it's probably the most difficult to figure out as well.
Yeah, I think, look, there's going to be a case to be made for the NFC West also, where you could have any order of finish on the table. I think it, surprisingly, the AFC West, the problem is the Chiefs have such a stranglehold on it. But when you talk about talent up and down, you know, Geno and Pete Carroll going to the Raiders, they draft Ginty, they have Brock Bowers, like they're probably better than people think. I think they've got a chance to actually win some games this year. But this is the one where these teams all seem to be pretty good. It's hard for me to not be excited about the prospects of Caleb Williams with Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson's the reason, I think, in the legitimacy. Now, we've never seen him be a head coach, but he's been the number one guy, the number one candidate for everybody for, what, 3 years now, as far as the NFL coaching cycle every year. And this is the spot he picked. And I think that's important. He picked this spot, which means he believes in Caleb Williams, or he wouldn't have picked this spot. I think they've done a really nice job collecting talent. I don't know that they'll be able to run the ball as much as Ben Johnson maybe is used to running the ball, but I also think their defense is pretty good. I am not going to pick them last in this division. I'll tell you that. That Chicago will not be my fourth place finisher in this division. Will they be yours?
No, they won't be. In fact, I think I have the Vikings finishing last in the division.
Really?
And that's literally only because J.J. McCarthy is a complete unknown. We just don't know. And by last, I mean, I think that they could be around 500. I don't think that they're going to be 4-13 or anything like that. I think it's going to be a highly competitive division, and there's not going to be much separation, I don't think, between the first team in the division and the fourth team in the division. The other thing, too, is that there are question marks at wide receiver with the Vikings right now. Jordan Addison is out for a few weeks with his situation. Justin Jefferson is hurt, and we don't know if he's going to be available for week one. That's not anything that, you know, probably will linger into the season, but I saw a report today that Minnesota is actually actively pursuing trades at wide receiver to have some reinforcements to start the season. So I've got Minnesota right now as my team that I think will probably finish last in the division. But your original question, no, I don't think that Chicago will finish last.
I don't either. I think Green Bay will finish last. Okay. I'm in on Minnesota. I'm in on J.J. McCarthy. I really like J.J. McCarthy. He was my... Well, I don't remember how I had my final ranking of that class. I liked him. I think I had Caleb 1, but I think I had McCarthy 2. Or maybe he was tied with Jaden Daniels, because I did like Jaden Daniels. In fact, I liked them all, except Bo Nix is the one that surprised me. I even like Penix. What a class that could be, by the way. My goodness. But I'm in on McCarthy. I think McCarthy is set up. I'm a little concerned about the things you mentioned. I'm a little concerned about all the injuries right out of the gates. I think Kevin McConnell, though, is a quarterback whisperer. I think J.J. McCarthy is at least better than everybody he's had, you know, of the guys that he's, like Nick Mullen, some of these guys that he's made look good. We'll see if he can be as good as Sam Darnold. We'll see if he can be as good as Kirk Cousins with Kevin McConnell. But I think there's a good chance that he can be. I like J.J. McCarthy. I think Detroit is being slept on a little bit. I know they lost both coordinators. That's tough to overcome. I get it. Get that question. But other than that, Tommy, like, that's it. They basically return the entire offense, and their defense, which was put together by, you know, scotch tape, not even duct tape last year, is now at least healthier. They have one of the best young defensive players in football back. I think the Lions are being slept on. I think the Lions win this division. I don't know. Like, it feels like they're not getting the buzz. I think I've told you this. They're one of my absolute favorite Super Bowl futures. At one point, you could get them at like 11-1. And I'm telling you, like, I guess I get it with Johnson and Glenn and all these things, but great teams and great coaches lose coordinators all the time. And I do feel like Dan Campbell has turned into a great coach in this league. They'll get that part figured out. They've got so much return. Yeah, they lose like Ben Johnson, big loss, but all the pieces are still there. Like, it's the same group. They'll acclimate quickly. And I don't even know who the Lions brought in there. I assume it's some sort of promotion that'll be familiar enough with it where they should be able to just sort of move forward. Dan Campbell played offense, everybody. Like, he was a tight end in football. I know he seems like a defensive guy, but he was a tight end. Offense, you know, that's what he's comfortable with too. I like the Lions a lot. I've got them winning the division.
I think the Lions are vulnerable. I think if this is the year that another team in the division can dethrone them, just literally because of the coordinators and the transition that you've got to look at as a team when you're replacing Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, who both were fantastic coordinators in their own right, both leaving in the same year. That's really hard. Like that, and I love Dan Campbell. And he's got a tremendous amount of talent on that team. We all know that. But it's one thing when you lose one coordinator to a head coaching job that you've got to replace. When you've got to replace both coordinators in one year, that becomes really difficult. And it doesn't mean that I don't think the Lions are going to be successful. I just think that you have to be realistic about that transition to two new coordinators, two new styles of you know, the way that they run both units and all of that. I think that they're ripe for a step down. I think they're still a playoff team, but I don't have Detroit winning the division. In fact, I think the Packers will win the division. The Packers are a really good team, and I think they're getting slept on. The fact that they've got, in fact, in 2024, the Packers had the fifth best defense in the league, and that defense could be potentially even better this year. The Josh Jacobs experiment worked out in Green Bay. He's back this year, and they drafted Matthew Golden, who I like a lot, to be another pass-catching option for Jordan Love. I think the Packers can win this division. I think the Lions and I think the Bears can both be wild card teams. Those are the three that I
win the division.
Well, I think they all can win the division, but the way that I've got it ranked out right now is Packers 1, Lions 2, Bears 3, Vikings 4, and I think that all but the Vikings will make the playoffs.
I've got it Lions, Vikings, Bears, Packers, which is crazy because the Packers always win 10 games. The Packers are fine. They're the ones with all the injuries that are scaring me. Jordan Love's got a hurt thumb. Golden is like the healthiest receiver that they have. They have all these guys. Josh Jacobs, they're going to run him into the ground early. Which
he was really good.
For.
He was really good last
year. That's why he's there, yeah. Right? I get it. But I, you know, is that going to hold up? The thing I think that gets the most interesting in this division is how are all the defenses? Last year, Minnesota was really good. I think they have one of the great coordinators in football. Green Bay was a highly underrated defense. And Detroit's healthy now. I think all four defenses are good, and I think all four offenses have a chance to be elite. This to me, top to bottom, is the best division in football.
It is.
I'm with you.
And I think that on top of that, too, I mean, we haven't really talked much about Chicago. I think they've got probably the largest swing where they could be either
absolutely
not great, yes, or they could be really good. Like, I think we kind of know where the other three teams, at least talent wise, are. There's a lot of unknowns with Chicago just simply because it's the first time we're going to see Caleb Williams paired up with Ben Johnson.
I mean, you know, they lose Keenan Allen, but they went and aggressively made their offensive line better. Remember, they're the team that went and got Joe Tooney. They made big time moves there. They draft a highly talented tight end in the first round of the draft in Colston Loveland. So they add a weapon. They lose Keenan Allen, but they add Loveland. Roma Dunze in the second year, he looked good toward the end of last year to go with DJ Moore. Now they have their big tight end. They're loaded. They're loaded. It's all in front of Caleb Williams. He's got to take it. And oh, by the way, they just added the game's rising star offensively in Ben Johnson.
And I know before I even say this, let me preface it by saying, I know it's just a preseason game. Okay. So it's you can't really read a whole lot into it. Did you see the Bears just punch the Bills in the mouth? Like, it was 38-0 in that second preseason game. Again, it's a preseason game. But I mean, I think that like that was something that Ben Johnson in the preseason was like, all right, look, guys, we need to like get out to a good start and like get ourselves on the right track before the season even starts. I mean, it was bad enough that Sean McDermott after the game was like, this is unacceptable even for a preseason game. Like, I'm not happy with the way my team executed and anything. The Bears are the team that the Chiefs play in the third preseason game on Friday night. The Bears just beat the Bills in the preseason 38-0. Again, I know it's preseason, but that's pretty monumental to go and slap the Bills across the face like that.
And Ben Johnson said, I saw it was Kay Adams, I think, talking to DJ Moore and Roma Dunze yesterday. And I think like it was at them, or I don't think it was Ben Johnson himself. Like, that was an old Lions playbook they used. They haven't even run out anything that's going to be there, and they're already acclimating quickly. I'd be so fired up if I was a Bears fan right now. I just, like, if Caleb Williams is the real deal, and again, I loved him as a prospect, but if he is the real deal and can figure this out, in my lifetime, I don't think we've ever been able to say the Bears offense could be a juggernaut. They had some years with Rex Grossman, right? But they hadn't had much otherwise. They've had just kind of flashes. They've had good run games in the past. This feels and looks like it could be a great offense. But again, I still haven't finished third in the division. I'm bigger on the Vikings a little bit, I think, than you are. But I think the real thing to watch here is the Lions. And I know these coordinators are important. But when we look around the league, Philadelphia has been losing coordinators forever and stayed great. Kansas City's been losing coordinators forever, stayed great. The Ravens lose coordinators every year, stay great. How many coordinators has Sean McVay lost in LA lately and stayed great? Like, I think we're making too much of that when the Lions are as talented as they are. They still have Amon-Ra St. Brown. Jameson Williams looks like he is ready to break out. They still have Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. They still have one of the best offensive lines in football. Yes, their defense ended up being bad last year, but good Lord, they were like, they didn't have anybody to play. Their back health. They do have one significant injury on the defensive line, but it ain't Hutchinson. He's back. Like, you know, I think they're set up. I think we're making too much of the coordinator thing.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, again, like, I'm not saying that any of these teams are going to be bad at all. I just think that if you're going to try to find a team that could potentially take a little bit, like a slight step back. Remember, the Lions had the number one seed in the NFC. They got the bye, like all of that. If you're do I think that they're going to perform to that level again this year? I'm going to say no. I think they'll still be really good. I think they're still a playoff team. But I do think that it's going to take one season to have this transition with new coordinators and all of that. And so I think that you're going to see a big jumbled up mess in this division. It may very well be like a tiebreaker type thing on who wins the division. It could very well be that we're talking like three, maybe four games only separating the first team in the division from the fourth team in the division. Like, when I say the Vikings, I think, are going to finish last in the division, that doesn't mean I think that they're going to be awful. I think they're going to be a good team, and I think they might just, like, slightly miss out on the playoffs. It's the most talented and best division in football, bar none.
I agree. And I'm overstating it a little bit. So right now you can get them 10-1, which does seem like a really good buying opportunity. The Eagles and the Ravens right now are the favorites at 6.5-1. So the difference there isn't immense. After the Lions, the next closest are the Bengals and Commanders. They're all the way down at 18-1. So Detroit is very much in that mix of like the five favorites for sure. I of those five to get the 10-1, and especially coming out of the NFC, we'll get to it with all our picks, but the Eagles at 6.5 or the Lions at 10.5, the Lions just feel like a better bet to me.
There. Sure. Yeah. I mean, I would agree with you on that. I think they are a better bet when you're looking at just the odds for sure.
Kansas City still at 7.5. The Lions are at 10.5 wins, by the way. That's a dangerous bet because of their division. But Kansas City, 7.5. You remember the Chiefs being that high anytime recently? I sure don't. I've already got some in on the Chiefs at 7.5. Chiefs are better set up than they have been. Think about this for just a second. We got 2-3 minutes. Are the Chiefs better set up right now than they have been in any of the years at this point that they reached the Super Bowl in the last three?
Probably not. I think they're probably set up the best.
Is it what would be? I think they're set up the best, right? Like, yeah. Because they have had a problem at left tackle in almost all of those years. Not as big a problem as they had last year, obviously, but it hasn't been solidified. Other than the loss of Joe Tooney, though, and I'm baking in, yes, that I think Kelce is going to have a resurgence this year because he is older. I get that. But when we look at the total picture, we'll see what happens in the secondary. I guess if there were two questions to that, it would be the secondary and it would be Joe Tooney's loss would be the only big differences, but they've added more offensively. This is by far the best skill group at receiver that Mahomes has had in any of these seasons by far.
Collectively,
even if Kelce, just gave you what he gave you last year, yeah, it's still the best.
Collectively, yes, I would wholeheartedly agree with that. Collectively, the best overall collective group of wide receivers that he's had. I mean, I think that it's hard to, you know, discount when you've had a Tyreek Hill on your roster for a few years as like the top guy in, you know, the wide receiver one and all of that. But collectively, as a group, yeah, it's got to be, if they can stay healthy, the best collective wide receiver group that Mahomes has had.
Yeah, and not even close either, because last year when we thought it would be, they lost them all. I'm watching that Kingdom documentary right now, and it was the second episode, which holy smokes does it make you appreciate Andy Reid. Man, they do a good job with Andy Reid in that episode. But it kind of part of it, I told you, it is a weird like timeline and sequence of how they kind of jump over to all the different issues in that, is which is an Andy Reid focused episode. They also focus on how many receivers and weapons they lost. And it's just like one after the other. And you're just like, holy cow.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
It is another visit with Shreya Slada on a Wednesday, a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. I see again, Shreya's forgot. Okay. I'm going to pretend he forgot and is not just outright refusing to celebrate and participate. Shreyas, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good. You know, we've been talking K-State. Everyone's getting ready to go to Ireland. One of the beauties of this weekend for KU is it's the opposite. It is staying home and sort of unveiling the new digs, the new stadium, all the new looks. They had their big, you know, unveil of different things to the media this week, but the bottom line is it's good to have them back on campus there. How is the buzz up there in Lawrence right now? I don't think it's a sellout yet, which surprised me a little bit, but I assume we'll get there by Saturday.
Yeah, I think I saw on the Kansas football account maybe yesterday, they said they had 900 tickets left, so it'll probably be good to go by Thursday, I presume. You know, there's a lot of excitement. You know, I think the players, the coaches, et cetera, are ready to play in Lawrence again. I think last year I had a player tell me that it was, you know, when they were on the road in Kansas City, it just, you know, felt like a road game. I mean, technically it was a home game per se, but, you know, playing at Arrowhead, playing at, you know, Children's Mercy, it's just, I guess, difficult to kind of get the simulation and feeling you get in Lawrence. There was an offensive lineman that said they call themselves MOB, Men of Booth. So they said it was tough to be Men of Booth in Arrowhead, which I thought was a very hilarious little quirk. But yeah,
it was weird. I mean, I think we can, now that we're through that stage, I think we can say it was weird. I went to games at both Children's Mercy and Arrowhead. I love both of those venues. It was odd. It was especially Children's Mercy. That was an odd way to watch a Kansas game. Have you had much of an opportunity to go see the new digs and walk through the stadium? I mean, I'm going to be up there on Saturday. I can't wait. I want to see what it all looks like and how it all feels.
Yeah, no, yesterday I went in and was part of the media tour. Got to try some of the concessions, the chicken tinga nachos, pretty good.
Okay.
Not bad chicken tenders either. But I was super impressed. I mean, I think Travis Goff has tried to say there's no bad seat in the house. And I think I kind of agree with that sentiment. I saw the viewpoint from like the most back seat in the stadium. And it was still a pretty good seat, you know, on the, at least in the north and the northwest end. They've done a tremendous job, you know, great history kind of inscripted into the program. A lot of really cool things in the stadium. You know, obviously you hope you can get something like that when you spend $300+ million, but you never know. Right. And I came away very impressed. I think KU fans are going to like it a lot. I think a lot of things that are underrated, like, you know, there's 14 elevators now. There was only three last time. They have two escalators, the only escalator in the city of Lawrence. And the same amount of escalators, I think, as the state of Wyoming, apparently. That's what we were told. But, you know, I think there's just so many underrated aspects of this stadium build that fans are going to enjoy, besides just the stuff that's in your face, like the end zone, the, you know, the lights, et cetera.
They'll only enjoy it if KU's winning football games. Shreyas, we don't know a lot about Fresno. I don't know how much you've studied film or looked at Fresno State. KU is a big favorite in the game. I have told people this talking privately. I think I've said it here about KU this year. Like, I got to see him play. I don't know. I mean, I know I like Jalen Daniels. I know I like Highshaw, and I know Lance Leipold can coach. But this is a like I have got to see them play a little bit to have any opinion on what they're going to do this year. And for that reason, like, I'm just excited to get them out there and see what they've got.
I don't think you're alone in that sentiment. I mean, I've talked to some media members who they're all just kind of like, well, you like you said, we know what Jalen Daniels is for the most part, but obviously we don't know because he was two different quarterbacks last season.
Right.
And you know what you're getting from Dana Highshaw, but then it's a bunch of new guys, a bunch of new names, a bunch of question marks, you know, like how good is the defensive secondary without Kobe and Melo? How good does the wide receiver room look with a bunch of new guys that are not, none of them are returning from last year, basically starting wise. I think Fresno State's a tough, you know, opponent to play week one. You know, they've beaten their fair share of FBS teams in the last 4 or 5 years. You know, they were a middle of the pack West team last year. They are pretty brand new. A lot of transfers, a lot of their good players kind of transferred elsewhere. But they have a veteran quarterback in Kurt Warner's son. I think it's EJ Warner is his name. And he's played 31 games from, you know, he played at Yale. He played at another school that's slipping my mind at the moment. But, you know, I think it's a good test for Kansas. I think them being double digit favorites, I could very easily see this be a tight game, like going into the fourth quarter, Kansas only up 10, and then Kansas kind of taking it away from there. But I mean, if you remember last year, this Fresno State team was within 10 of Michigan, or within 6 of Michigan, I think, in the fourth quarter. So they're a tough out, and that was in Ann Arbor. You know, that's Ann Arbor. This is Lawrence. So it's not quite the same.
Yeah, one of the comparisons that I'm, you know, I'm trying to not connect these dots because I don't want the same fate to happen this season as last year. But you mentioned Children's Mercy Park. One of the games at Children's Mercy Park was UNLV in week number 3, and Kansas lost that game 23-20. Now, UNLV, they finished this season 11-3 in the Mountain West, while Fresno State was right around 500. So UNLV was a better football team than Fresno State was in their same conference a season ago. But I'm having a hard time not trying to draw comparisons between the last time the Jayhawks played a Mountain West team and who they're facing this weekend.
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely get it. I think this Fresno State team, like you said, is just not as good as UNLV. I also think I have no idea what to expect of them because most of their good players, you know, transferred elsewhere. They went to Baylor, Alabama, et cetera. You know, obviously playing a veteran quarterback will be a good test on this young secondary. Other than that, I'm going in with a pretty clean slate of, like, you know, I have no idea what to expect from this Kansas team outside of, I think Jalen Daniels was a pretty good quarterback. I think Daniel Highshaw is going to be pretty good. And wide receiver room has received a lot of hype, especially Emmanuel Henderson. Other than that, I wouldn't be surprised if anything happens, I guess, because this, you know, both sides of the ball are filled with a bunch of new faces. There are going to be some growing pains. I think for me, the biggest worry is always going to be how is the pass defense going to look like? And I think they have some talented guys there like Jalen Todd and Austin Alexander and Gibbs, et cetera. But the issue is 100% going to be, are they going to be as good as Kobe and Melo? And if that's probably not going to happen, and that's okay, then that means the defensive line has to be better. The linebacker room has to be better. You know, Kobe and Melo gave, you know, Kansas a lot of opportunity to get away a lot of things that they couldn't necessarily get away with, I think, this year.
What is the identity of this offense going to be this year? It's hard to imagine it because the receivers have been so consistent with Jalen Daniels the last few years, and now they're not. Are they a pass-based offense? They also lost Evan Neal, so it's hard to imagine them as a run-based offense. What do you think they'd like to do?
I think it'll be a healthy balance, a mix. You know, like, you know, I do see the run game being a big part of it because, I mean, LeSean Williams is a great running back. Just 2 years removed, he was a Big Ten all honorable mention. You know, he struggled to stay healthy. Same thing with Highshaw. You know, I think they'll be great complementary backs. And I think, you know, maybe you're not getting 100% what a Devin Neal gets you, but if you get 80, 90%, I think that's good enough, I think, to have a pretty good offense, as long as you assume that Jalen is what he looks like in the second half of last season. If he can keep the turnovers down, if he doesn't force things into tight windows, you know, I was talking to former Kansas quarterback Carter Stanley about this for our film room session yesterday. And a lot of it's going to be just, you know, make things easier for Jalen. I think one of the things with Grimes' system, I think especially the first couple of weeks, is wide receivers were not as open as they should have been. And I think he had to fit in a lot of tight windows and play a lot of hero ball. When, you know, I think Zabrowski, we saw in the UNLV game, that's the one game we have tape of him being offensive coordinator, is guys were getting wide open. It's just on Jalen to deliver those, you know, strikes to them and get it to them. And I think just having that continuity, I mean, he's been his quarterback coach for 5 years now. He's only going to make it easier when him and Zabrowski are going back and forth with certain plays at the line or whatever.
You mentioned the loss of Kobe and Mello. There were a handful of games last year that the only reason that Kansas was even in those games was because of their efforts. I mean, they were aggressive. They were able to take advantage of, you know, getting turnovers and keeping the Jayhawks in these ball games. It's going to be extremely difficult and I think impossible to replace their impact right away. But what do you see in the secondary?
Yeah, it's a really young group. It's a pretty talented group. I mean, guys like Jalen Todd, Austin Alexander, they brought in some veterans, I think, you know, who are a little bit banged up. Like DJ Graham is supposed to be a starter, I think, when he gets fully healthy. It's like him or Austin Alexander, depending on what happens. Saeed Gibbs from Georgia Tech, he's another veteran guy who's going to play snaps at safety and cornerback. I think the room has an opportunity to be good. I just don't think it'll be good right away. I think it's going to be some growing pains. I think there are going to be some times where, you know, quarterbacks are, you know, targeting certain corners just to see how good they are. Everything we know, you know, about guys like Jahil Hurley and Austin Alexander and Jalen Todd, you know, they are getting good, you know, reviews at practice and training camp, but they are young. And like you said, I just don't see a scenario, at least this year, where they're better at pass defense, unless something's dramatically changed scheme-wise or somebody has an amazing season or two, you know, at pass defense. Like, I think that's going to be the question mark all year. And even with Kobe Mello last year, you saw quarterbacks still, you know, pick apart the KU secondary at times. You know, like, we saw Josh Hoover in TCU. He was doing what he needs to do against that secondary. And I think that's going to be the case in some of these games they play against veteran quarterbacks.
I do too. Kind of like the over there. Shreyas, we'll look for your coverage. We'll look for your previews, your post-game reviews, all of it at the KC Star. At SHRE98 is where you can follow him. Here we are. It's football season. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, I'm excited. Ready to not talk about the renovated David Booth Kansas Memorial Stadium. I've probably written that statement 100 times over the last 2 weeks in every article. Let's get ready to play some football.
You're not the only person that has that sentiment. Let's play some football. All right, Trius, we'll talk to you next week. Get that Hawaiian shirt. Set a reminder in your phone.
I got to add one. I don't think I have one in my rotation. I was looking last week, and I was like, I couldn't find anything. I genuinely don't think I have a Hawaiian shirt that fits me. I'll get one, though.
Well, listen, it's you're getting to an age here. You're getting a little older where
don't let him influence you. If you don't want to wear one, you don't have to wear one.
You walk around that day and just watch the way people look.
Come
at
on.
You. All I'm saying.
I think the Hawaiian shirt Wednesday is a good move, but I think it's a little too, I haven't hit 30 yet. Like, let's talk about this. We hit 30.
I'm 27. If I walked around in this bad boy without my wedding ring, it would be a problem.
Right.
I'll have to try it. I'll let you know. I'll get back to you.
All right. All right. We'll check in next week. There goes Shreyas Lotta. Take the over this weekend. I think that's my play on the KU game, Tommy. Take the over. I think it's high. It's like 53.5 or something. We'll pick it tomorrow. We're doing picks tomorrow.
Friday. We're doing picks on Friday.
Oh, tomorrow's not Friday. Yeah. We're doing picks on Friday. Tomorrow, we'll have Tim Fitzgerald from Ireland, which is going to be fun. It's only Wednesday, everybody. We're getting you through it. All right, that's it. It's been a fun Wednesday. Thanks to Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats, for stopping by before he hits the air to Ireland, the Aer Lingus this weekend, K-State, Iowa State. And thanks to Shreyas Lotta for stopping by as well, our KU insider beat reporter for the KC Star. If you missed either of those interviews, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. See if the Royals can make it 6 in a row tonight. Coverage begins at 6:30 right here on KFH. Royals, Rangers, baseball. Tommy, we will be back here tomorrow to talk about it all.
Man, I can't wait. Hopefully we're talking about a winning series for the Royals.
And we will also preview another NFL division tomorrow as we get you ready for the football season. For Tommy and Max, I'm Jacob. See you tomorrow.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.